When Alexander Baranov led Russian fur traders into Southeast in the late 1700s, he met some fierce resistance. Steve Henriksen of the Alaska State Museum says Tlingit warriors appeared one night within their camp.
He has a very vivid description of how terrified this made everybody see, because these big figures just materialized in the middle of their camp. Because of the layers of padding, they were all really big and tall. The helmet might add another 6 inches to 8 inches.
But they were the exceptions. Henriksen, the museum's collections curator, says most warriors did battle with little to protect them beyond animal hides. The carved painted helmets, bentwood face shields, and wooden body armor was just too bulky.
The types of battles that they had were often required a lot of quick movements, and if you're wearing that armor, it's fairly heavy and bulky and it restricts your movement, so it would only be employed in very strategic ways.
Henriksen presented images and information at a recent Sea Alaska Heritage Institute lecture at the Walter Sobolev Building in Juneau. He showed examples of helmets adorned with sea lion whiskers and animal skins.
Some helmets use the head skin of a bear, a brown bear, stretched over a plain wooden form.
Battle helmets were thick, made out of burls or other off-grain pieces of wood, which were harder to penetrate or crack. Henriksen says the origins and ages of many are not known, but one whale design points to a possible origin.
And this one has a seal in its mouth, and that may point to it being from the whale, killer whale chasing seal house of Angoon.
Henriksen and his fellow researchers have tracked down nearly 100 helmets in museums in the U.S. and overseas, and sometimes they just show up at an auction. That was the case for one recent find, which appears to represent a merganser, a crested duck with a serrated beak, found in Alaska waters.
Again, no documentation. It was just found in a castle in France, but it's clearly Tlingit.
He says there's no question Southeast's Haidas and Tsimshians made armor too, but so far, most examples are Tlingit. Armor, which covered bodies, legs, and arms, was made of wood, animal hides, or both, and sometimes held together by sinew or yarn. Henriksen says they were sometimes strengthened by other materials, including outdated Chinese coins brought in by Russian fur traders.
They were able to get a good deal on them. They brought them out here, and Northwest Coast natives use them for decorating their regalia, but also to maybe make the armor more impermeable to bullets and buckshot.
That only worked for a while. Early firearms were often weak and inaccurate. As guns gained strength, armor became no match. But it still has ceremonial use, which continues to this day. And a number of modern artists have created their own versions for display or use in dance groups. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.